Now would be a terrific time for you to get your outline out. We'd like for you to have that so that you can take notes and follow along. We're going to be looking out of the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to get your Bible out and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. If you don't have a Bible, that's fine too. All of the pertinent scripture will come up on the center screen that our tech team will be running for us. Well, last week, as I said before, we began a series looking at the life that God offers us. We raised the question of what exactly is the life that God wants to give us? We saw that Jesus in John 10:10 promises believers life to the full, a life that overflows with abundance. So we set out on a mission to find out what that life is, how to lay hold of it, and how to sustain it. And I promised you that at the end of this series, we will have 8 footsteps, or really 8 handholds, that help us do just that. Find out what that life is, how to lay hold of it, and how to sustain it. And so last week, we looked at King Solomon in Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament book. And we found out something very enlightening as we studied about King Solomon. We found out that King Solomon had power. King Solomon also had position. King Solomon had every desire that he ever wanted fulfilled. He also had immense riches. But with all of those things, the interesting thing we found out was that Solomon was plagued by a hole in his heart. Not a physical hole, but some type of a void, a feeling of discontentment. So King Solomon tried to shove every possibly shaped peg into this hole in his heart. But nothing that he tried to shove in there fit the shape of the hole. Solomon, who had it all, said that there had to be something more. He just didn't know what that something was. Well, tonight, I'm pleased to say Solomon will find the missing piece to fill the hole in his heart, and you and I will discover the second handhold, really, in our pursuit of this full and abundant life that God offers us. But before we go to Ecclesiastes, I want to take the opportunity to kind of really give you a visual to show you Solomon's situation. And the visual we're going to use is this. You see, this is what King Solomon's search entailed. You see, Solomon was looking at our lives as if they consisted of only 2 dimensions, just like this. Solomon considered and investigated the physical side of life. He did. He went through all that in his investigation to find out if that's where the thing was that would fill his void. And believe me, this physical side of our lives, these are really incredibly important, gang. I'm not trying to downsize this at all. This physical side of our life includes our bodies that God has entrusted to us. The physical side of our life includes all the material possessions that God graces our lives with. There's also this world around us and all of the wonders that this world contains. All these aspects of our life make up a very large portion of who we are. But Solomon thoroughly investigated this aspect of life, and he found that it did not fill the shape of the hole in his heart. Money didn't do it. Achievement didn't do it. Success, all the world around us offers, did not fill the void in Solomon's heart. You can feel free to get the CD on this, go to the website and read and go through the first message. So after Solomon finished the physical side, Solomon searched the second aspect of our lives, the emotional or intellectual side. Solomon devoured information and learning, and he gave his heart to every feeling possible, especially love. He held nothing back from himself, he says, nothing for his own enjoyment, and nothing for his emotional, intellectual fulfillment. Yet he said in the end, that was not the answer either. There was still this void. So what's going on? Well, what's happening to Solomon is that he considered our lives as only these two dimensions, the physical and the emotional, intellectual. But the truth is, gang, that you and I are not two-dimensional beings. You and I, God designed us as three-dimensional beings. Triangles, if you will, make up who we are. You and I are made up of three parts: the physical part, the emotional, intellectual side, and then there's the third side, which is our spiritual side. It's our souls. Some refer to our souls as our heart. I think what they mean there is the essence of who we are. The embryonic voice that calls out from deep beyond our conscience. This is the part that left the huge hole in Solomon's triangle. This side left out in one's life leaves a huge void, a God-sized hole, we'll call it. But like we said last week, Solomon will find this missing piece. He will find it. You see, Solomon, in all his studies and intellectual searching, would certainly have come across his father David's writings. And when he did, he would certainly have found his answer. And perhaps that's where he did find it. For instance, Solomon may have looked no further than these Psalms. Psalm 63, all these written by David's dad. I will honor the Lord as long as I live, lifting my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest foods. I will praise you with songs of joy. Psalm 39, his father wrote, we are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends at nothing. We heap up wealth for someone else to spend. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My hope is in you. Psalm 107, the Lord satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. And finally, Psalm 112, verse 1, happy are those who fear the Lord. Yes, happy are those who delight in doing what he commands. Gang, David in these Psalms is telling everyone who will listen that the hole inside of our hearts is the missing leg of our triangular being. And that is the spiritual side filled by God himself. Solomon, at the end of his journey in Ecclesiastes, lets us know that he's found his missing piece. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 to 14a. Here's Solomon's conclusion. The last and final word is this: fear God. Do what he tells you. And that's it. Gang, if we are to find this life to the full that Jesus is promising in John 10:10, we must let God ignite and give birth to the spiritual side of our beings. We must complete our triangle. And this is what Jesus is talking about when Jesus came to earth in John 3:3, when he is talking. He says, I tell you this, unless you are born again, you can never get into the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, who came to him that night, that Nicodemus, we walk around like with just two-sided beings because our spiritual side is missing. That part of our triangle hasn't been born yet inside of us. You have to ask God to do that. And we must choose out of our own free will whether we will let God ignite the spiritual side of our beings or not. You see, gang, our mistakes, our sins, have buried that aspect since birth in us. Our spiritual side lies dormant inside of us until we ask God to give birth to it. And when we ask God to forgive our sins, turn to Jesus as our rescuer, our spiritual life comes alive. It erupts inside of us, and God's Spirit comes rushing into our lives. The God-shaped hole in our life, the missing triangle side, is now complete, and we're a whole being because of Jesus Christ. Gang, this is the second footstep. This is the second handhold on living life to the full. And you can't miss this point. It's this. Fill the God-shaped hole in our hearts with Jesus. Gang, until we do, we will walk this earth as incomplete beings, saying something's missing. There's got to be something more. Friends, I got to tell you, a lot of folks want the life to the full that Jesus offers in John 10, Ted, but they're unwilling to take this step. So I just wanted to make a few observations on this filling the God-shaped hole in our life with Jesus. The first observation is this. The missing power source in our lives comes from our spiritual side. All right, as you and I, as believers, live the life to the full, we will need power. We will need power, power to help us through tough times. We will need power to do the right thing instead of taking the easy way out. We will need power to sustain us against opposition. Friends, you will still have rainy days as a follower of Jesus Christ, even in life to the full. The most imperative and crucial provision we need for success in God's life that he offers is the power of God through the Holy Spirit. That missing leg, gang, that missing leg of our triangle is where we get our sustenance. It's where we get our power. In our own power, we can't tough it out. In our own power, we lose hope in hopeless situations like we saw in our drama. In our own power, we lie right there where we fall. But in God's power, we have the strength that does not come from us. In God's power, we hope in him when all our hope is lost. In God's power, he picks us up and he carries us when we can't go on. The missing power source in our life comes from our spiritual side. Second observation. Some are deterred from allowing Christ to fill the hole in their heart because of a negative view of God. I have to be honest, I felt this way. You see, I had been taught a very negative view of God growing up. I didn't see God as my father. I saw him as an angry king who wants his best, not my best. Then someone explained the truth to me. I sat down with a friend one time and they said, "Hey, Drew, tell me something. Tell me all about your children." I said, "Okay." So I sat with this friend and I told them all about my kids. I went on this big, long talk about all the joys and all the laughter and all the hugs and all the kisses I've shared with them. And I remember telling him how I sit at my desk in our home office and I see my kids running on the front yard sometime. And how when they do, it always catches my eye, and with their youthful excitement over the simplest things, like finding a beautiful flower or discovering a cool rock. And I told this guy that sometimes, you know, I just sit there and I stare at them and I smile and I fill up with this joy inside just looking at them playing out there on the front yard. That's when my friend said to me, "Drew, that's how God looks at you. He looks at you with that same feeling that you look at your children with. In fact, God invented that feeling. And the same feeling you get when your kids run up to you and give you a hug and tell you that they love you, that's the same feeling God gets when we run to him and tell him how much we love him." After that conversation, I never looked at God the same. Friend, God looks at you that same way. Like a parent devoted and in love with their precious child. You know, recently, I've gotten myself hooked on a television show called The Biggest Loser. And it's a cool show. I highly recommend it. It's a reality show where people come to a fitness camp to learn healthy eating habits and a healthy lifestyle of fitness. So as I eat my ice cream and watch this, I find that each contestant is sequestered for months. They're sequestered for months away from their families, away from their friends, away from work, away from everything. No communication at all. is allowed as they learn to eat healthy and work out. But, you know, after a few weeks, the show gives them the opportunity to kind of win prizes through challenges and all that stuff. And this past week is where they offered them the challenge where if they won this prize, they would get a 20-minute phone card to phone home. You would not believe how hard of an effort those people put in to win those phone cards. It was unbelievable. And a few of them actually won the phone cards. And then the TV show actually showed us these people phoning home, especially when they were phoning their children. 20 minutes talking with their children. Oh, how it moved the hearts of these parents. Just to connect with their kids for 20 minutes. Gang, God tells us that he loves us like a father loves his children. And oh, how he longs to connect with us. How much he values that phone card connection with you. He valued it so much, he was willing to die in his challenge to win it. And he did. A third and final observation on filling the God-shaped hole in our lives with Jesus. It's this. Knowing God is the missing piece is not the same as placing him in the hole. It is possible, gang, for us to know all about Jesus and not let him rescue you. You can come here on Saturday night religiously and learn all about him. You can even sing songs and pray to him. But that really can all be done without grabbing hold of Jesus and asking him to come into your life and fill the God-shaped hole in your heart. Knowing what God can do is not the same as letting him do it. Recently, for the fire department, I was sent to a training seminar in Newark. And the seminar's objective was to teach us how emergency services can handle gigantic, catastrophic, multi-jurisdictional, multi-agency incidents. Fire departments would work in conjunction with police departments, who would work in conjunction with Coast Guard, who would work in conjunction with Homeland Security, and you name it. And a very major part of the system involved knowing who was at the incident. So what they did in this seminar, what they came up with, is they actually copied the accountability system that was developed by West Coast forest firefighters. You see, wildfires are huge, multi-everybody-under-the-sun incidents. So they developed a system of tagging everyone. All personnel at the incident would be known they were there by these tags. Everybody was issued and carried a plastic tag that you clip on your uniform. And when you go to these job scenes, these incidents, you send your tags to incident command, to headquarters. And that way, no one is lost, no one is forgotten about. You know who's there because you have everyone's tags at incident command headquarters. Well, this tagging on, as it's called, you tag on with incident command is crucial. It can certainly be life and death, as they found out on one of those California wildfires. You see, one group of firefighters from Montana, they came to fight the fire, but they did not tag on. Don't get me wrong, they had their tags, they had them, and they knew what they were supposed to be used for. But these fellas decided that they wouldn't bother tagging on. Instead, they went right to the incident and fought the forest fire. Well, incident command, as this fire went on, decided that they needed to set a backfire. That's where they would stop one flame advance by another flame advance that they had created themselves. But before they did that, they checked all of the accountability tags to know exactly who was there and where they were at. And they confirmed where each group was, who had tagged on. Then they lit that backfire. Well, guess who was in the path of that destructive backfire? The boys from Montana were found afterwards, and guess what was clipped onto their gear? Their accountability tags. They had the answer. They had their salvation on them. They just hadn't placed them where they needed to be placed. They never tagged on. Knowing about Jesus is not the same as letting him rescue you from your sin. We cannot complete our beings without Jesus filling the void, completing the missing side of our triangular beings. But gang, we have to tag on with Jesus. Jesus told us, don't ever forget about this. Never forget what I did on that cross so that I could give you those accountability tags and give you the right to tag on with me. But the choice is ours as to whether or not we will tag on with Jesus. You and I will decide whether we will come to the cross and ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins and come into our hearts and complete us. And we wanted to give you that opportunity tonight with our communion. If you want to get off the life's road that you are on that is leading you away from God, if you want to lay hold of the life to the full that Jesus Christ offers, we're right here in the beginning stages in this series. You can start your journey tonight asking Jesus in to be our rescuer. That's the way we procure life to the full, the one Jesus offers in John 10. John 10:10. It's simply done, gang, by faith. It's something you do in your heart. You tell God through your heart that you want him. You merely need to have a conversation with him in your heart right where you're seated. We're going to give you the opportunity to do that. And after, we're going to ask you to just publicly show that to God and to those standing around. We're going to serve communion. There's going to be elements here at both tables. You can come, take the bread, take the cup, the same there. And then we'll take that together when we get back to our seats. So I'm going to ask the band to come back. I'm going to ask for the worship leaders to come back. Give you a couple seconds to talk to God in your heart. If you haven't tagged on with Jesus, you can do it tonight. If you're not sure, make sure tonight. It's not enough to know who he is. You have to put him where he belongs, and that's inside our hearts. As we sing, feel free to come forward and take the elements as Robert and Jim prepare them for us.